Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Mr. Sal Capaccio is back with us this morning. Good morning. Jeremy and Joe, Josh Schmidt producing, heading towards Bills and Colts. And wrapping up the trade deadline around the league, not a lot of action for the Bills. They did release a player that they tried to trade, Mike Edwards. So the Mike Edwards story, you know, signed him in the offseason, modest contract at safety, never played. Wanted out, and I haven't seen, is he signed anywhere yet?
Not that I've seen, no.
Hey, Sal, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, a lot to talk about here with yesterday and everything that happened in the NFL. And yeah, for sure, a week leading up to the Colts coming up.
So let's talk Mike Edwards. Let's start there. The Bills lose a player on deadline day, and not because they traded him away, but just because, I guess, mutually, this just never worked out.
Yeah, you know, it was really something that was hard to figure out all for the last 8 weeks, essentially, 9 weeks. And let me just kind of go back to the timeline here. The Bills signed Mike Edwards as a free agent, and I'd be the first to tell you, and I did many times, you know, he was a guy that would be much easier to fit into a new system because he ran very similar systems in Tampa with Todd Bowles and then in Kansas City with Steve Spagnuolo. And as I've mentioned a few other times, I was at the owners' meetings. I talked with both Bowles and Andy Reid about it, and they said he'll fit in Buffalo really well because of that. So this was a guy, okay, the Bills signed to probably start next to Taylor Rapp. We get to OTAs, he's not out there. And the Bills said he had shoulder surgery before that. It always struck me as interesting. When that happens, I always wonder, and I don't know this with his case, but it always makes me wonder because does the player tell the team that that happened and he's going to be out? Do they wait till after they sign to tell him? You know, because you don't want to hurt your value. I'm just something curious that I always wonder about with a lot of these situations. So he misses all of OTAs. He was not on the field at all. In that time period, he's missing a lot of, obviously, valuable reps. Cole Bishop is drafted. You think, okay, he has a chance here as well. Damar Hamlin then gets an opportunity, and he played really well in OTAs and minicamp. And, you know, he showed up in fourth year in the system, did well. Well, we get to training camp, and Mike Edwards has a chance to maybe get some reps, and then he has a hamstring injury, and he's out for a while. I just think, guys, all of that lost time never allowed him to really get to where he needed to be in the system with the reps he needed, and couple that with, and I know Bills fans just kind of don't like hearing this in a large portion of them, Damar Hamlin played well. He earned the right in the spot. I should say he earned the spot, and it was too tough to bridge that gap and overtake. And now you get into the season, it's not like you're installing things anymore. Now it's to the point where you're limited reps anyway. So I just think the bridge was too far, and the gap was too far between Mike Edwards and Damar Hamlin, or even Cole Bishop at this point, for him to be able to get on the field. And even Sean McDermott acknowledged multiple times, including on my radio show with him a few weeks ago, they signed Mike Edwards with the intent to sign him. So it's not like the Bills went into this with some sort of agenda about Damar Hamlin, as a lot of people want to think. The Bills thought Mike Edwards was going to start for them. I just think that the injuries piled up too much, and there was too much of a gap, and DeMar Hamlin held him off.
Well, the one thing I would wonder is, like, who's happiest about this? Is it Hamlin? Is Hamlin should... I know it's tough to always do this, but, like, Shane Steichen said Joe Flacco's our starter for the rest of the year. Should Bills fans pretty much come to grips with the fact that it's probably DeMar Hamlin for the rest of the year?
That's a great question. This is a separate question, right? Like, there's two parts to this. It's a great question, Jeremy, which is, okay, you have the Mike Edwards versus DeMar. That doesn't mean DeMar is the starter in perpetuity that anybody else can't take him over. Heck, I wouldn't be stunned if Cole Bishop became the starter over DeMar Hamlin by the end of the year. That doesn't mean. I just think that in this particular case, this player, Mike Edwards, for whatever reason, his injuries mounted and he couldn't get on the field and it never worked out. And maybe there were things in the system that he just didn't grasp enough for them. Maybe there was too much of an injury. Whatever it is, I think you can't look at it as, well, DeMar, as everything I just said, I think there was too much of a gap for him to overtake DeMar. I don't think that means that nobody can overtake DeMar. You know, I just think DeMar Hamlin's done a nice enough job, and they're playing the style of defense. I've said this to you guys many times. This is the perfect style of defense for a player like DeMar Hamlin. He is not a ball-hawking safety. He is not a super athletic safety. He's a keep everything in front of me, do exactly what I'm coached to do, come up and make tackles safety. That's what he is, and that's what they've done very well, by the way, this year.
Yeah.
And that's why he's holding on to this job. I wouldn't be surprised if someone does. Heck, would I be stunned if they re-signed and brought Micah Hyde back in the next few weeks? I wouldn't be stunned. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I wouldn't be stunned. Would I be stunned if Cole Bishop took his job? No. I think that's a separate issue.
It's tough, right, because it's middle of season, and I wonder, Sal, whenever this comes up, like, what is Hamlin doing to lose the job? You know, like, he might not be out
exactly
there making big splash plays, but you don't get big plays over the top. I was looking at his numbers yesterday on PFF, like, his missed tackle percentage in the league amongst safeties, like, he's 15th out of, like, 70. His tackle grade at PFF is sixth best in football.
By the way, 15th meaning 15th best or 15th most?
Like, he has the 15th lowest missed tackle percentage.
Right, exactly.
So he he doesn't really miss
right
tackles. So, right, you might not be getting the splash plays, but he's not really making plays to lose himself the job. So, like, it would, middle of season, how does Cole Bishop prove, hey, I need to get on the field over DeMar Hamlin? I mean, maybe an injury could happen, but we've already seen that happen, and our lasting memory of Cole Bishop right now is a big play that got over the top of him.
That's right. The one chance he did play, it went the other way, right? He didn't. And as Sean McDermott also said recently this week, he said Cole will be fine. Like, you know, he needs reps. And that's what he said the other day. And he's right about that. Cole Bishop's going to be fine. I remember when the Bills drafted Cole Bishop. Guys, I got torched for tweeting, I don't see this guy starting right away. Do you know why? I said he's going to play like I compared him to somebody's role a couple of years ago or last year. And people online went after me and said, oh my God, that's such a wasted, horrible draft pick if your second round safety can't start. Have you not paid attention to the Buffalo Bills over the last several years? Like, it matters to them that guys know the system and understand what to do and don't get beat deep. Like, that's what you have to prove you can do in this system. So that's where we are. And if Cole eventually gets to that point, it wouldn't surprise me. I think Cole Bishop's going to be the starter in this team eventually, whether it's this year, postseason, next year. I think he's going to be a nice player in this league. But they weren't drafting a second-round safety to come in immediately and start, because that's a really tall ask in this defense.
So do you think now, Sal, now that we're on safety, am I right in this? They only have three now on the active roster? Four, if you would count Cam Lewis, who obviously is also the nickel backup.
That's correct.
Because there's only three like true safeties on the depth chart, I think naturally you're going to get asked, and we're going to get asked about Micah Hyde for this, which I don't want to sneeze at, because like maybe it's not going to happen right now, or maybe it will, but there definitely seems to be room, Sal, for another safety that Sean McDermott and Bobby Babich know they can trust. And if someone were to get injured, I'm not saying they wouldn't trust Cole Bishop, but I don't think you'd trust him as much as Micah Hyde when it came to the scheme and everything like that.
I agree with that. There's a running bit we have on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo since the beginning of the season, where Matt Bove has been hammering the table saying saying they're going to sign Micah Hyde. Like, he was convinced of it after week two, after week three. And I kept telling him, hey, I just don't think it's going to happen right now. But I wouldn't be surprised if it happens later in the year. And we have this back and forth all the time. And Matt is still very convinced it's going to happen soon. I will tell you, I'm much more like in the window of, oh, I think it could happen now. I'm not predicting it will. I don't know. I think that's I don't think it's ever been a, well, if the Bills want him, he's coming back. Or if Micah Hyde wants to come back, he's coming back. It's got to be mutual. There's got to be give and take on both sides in a couple areas. Number one is, I don't think Micah Hyde's coming back to sit the bench. Guys, if they sign Micah Hyde, it's got to be to start, right? You're not signing him to be behind Damar Hamlin. I don't think Micah Hyde's accepting that role. That's just my read of it, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's fine. Maybe he can walk right in and do that. I also don't think the Bills are interested in spending a lot of money to bring Micah Hyde in, to be quite honest. And, like, is that worth it for him, given his neck injuries and what's happened? Like, there's so many things that have to kind of align here for that to happen. But it could happen. And they do have an open spot now. And we saw a guy that they signed to start. It didn't work out. Would I be stunned? I would not be stunned. I just think it still has to have. There's still got to be different things, certain things that have to align a certain way for that to happen. And if he did, then yeah, he would come right in. And look, I would be a little concerned over the neck injuries and tackling. He had multiple stingers his last year after the neck injury he had the year before that. So there are a lot of things there. Outside of that, though, Joe, you're right. So you have Taylor Rapp, Damar Hamlin, Cole Bishop, Cam Lewis is your fourth safety. I mean, they do have Lewis Cine and Kareem Jackson on the practice squad. They could just sign one of them to the active roster. They could elevate one of them for three times before signing him to keep an open roster spot. Kareem Jackson has a lot of skin in this game, right? He has been in the league a long time. He's a veteran. We know that. So that's a guy that I think that they'd feel, okay, he's a veteran. He's seen a lot of football. He's been in different systems. He's been in our system now for several months. I am very curious about Lewis Cine. I don't know if we had the discussion, it was you guys or me with Shopin the Bulldog. But one thing that I basically said to those guys, I think it might have been with you as well, is Lewis Cine is a guy that I could see maybe in a situational game-to-game role. Maybe he's like a big nickel kind of guy. Like if we go forward here and the Chiefs just keep pounding the ball and they're not throwing the ball, is that a guy that Sean McDermott says, I'm activating him for this particular game and role, big dime maybe, right? Where I need a guy, not a back end safety, but like a Jordan Poyer role. Because remember, he was working with the linebackers for like a week or so during training camp, right? I that's a guy that I just wonder if that's a specialty role that at some point we see him pop up in.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline, you can give us a call. Get a question in on the deadline if you want or anything going into this game against Indianapolis, 803-0550. All right, Sal, so Jordan Phillips as an idea and what's going on the defensive line. He posted to his Instagram that there's not a lot to like about Phillips' game when he was here or the last year or so. So probably a depth move. Is this another spot where, you know, this kind of lines up with everything you just said about whether it's Micah Hyde or if it's Damar Hamlin? It's about knowing what you want from your players. The Bills know what they want, and even if Phillips is not exactly at the peak of his powers, they like familiarity.
Yeah, it's funny, guys. Like you're right. You have to look at who is a connection to the Bills, right? Who's a connection to their system? Who's been here? Anytime we do this, that's kind of the way you got to go about it. And I got a lot of people asking me about Shaq Lawson the last few days. And I said, okay, yeah, sure. I mean, like, he's out there. He would know their system, edge setter. Now, especially since the injury to Juwan Smoot, by the way, coupled with Dwayne Carter. And now you have Jordan Phillips, who was released, and he puts on his Instagram, run it back, with him in a Bills uniform. I'm going to tell you that yesterday, this is a lesson. And we could hear today that Jordan Phillips signed with the Bills. Sure, that could happen. That doesn't mean he signed with them because he writes that. I think, to me, it read like he's saying, hey, let's run it back. Like, he's like, I want to do this. Maybe he does. Maybe he signs with the Bills. But I saw a lot of people yesterday, local and national, literally reporting that Jordan Phillips said he signed with the Bills. He did not do that. There was nothing that said he signed with the Bills. He did not say he signed with the Bills. The Bills didn't say he signed with the Bills. Could it happen today? Sure. I mean, that could happen. They have two open roster spots. All I'm telling you is, though, that you got to be careful. You know, this goes back many years, Jeremy. How many times have we always talked about reading things into social media and, you know, what these guys post? So, hey, could it happen? Absolutely. You know who else it could happen with? Quentin Jefferson. Quentin Jefferson was released by the Browns. He's another guy that has familiarity with this system. I would not be stunned if one, I guess maybe even both, probably a practice squad role at first for one of these guys, if that were to happen, although you could sign him to the active roster, you could release Zion Logue. Now he's been on the roster for 3 weeks. I wouldn't be stunned if either Jordan Phillips or Quentin Jefferson came back. But as of right now, I've received nothing on the fact that Jordan Phillips actually has signed with the Bills, only in a cryptic Instagram post that doesn't mean that he was announcing to the world that he had signed.
Right. Phillips, Jefferson, and I think also F.A. Obada. Like, it was just all former Bills defensive linemen got cut yesterday to make room for guys they traded for. Obada had been here like a few years ago, but yep. I think before that.
And real quick, the other name that has popped up over the last few days with me on my radar, only because of the Keon Coleman situation, is Chase Claypool. Now, if you want to get a guy, I don't know the weeks for the injury settlement. My assumption is they'd be beyond the weeks that would be allowable for him to bring him back. But we're just trying to do the tie-ins here of guys who would know the system, who would come in right away and be able to at least help out. Now, they do have four players on their practice squad: Tyrell Shavers, Jalen Virgil, KJ Hamler, Deion Kane. So I know I'm just thinking about guys who would have been here who would know the system.
You know, with regard to the receiver conversation, Sal, today we'll find out about Coleman.
We'll find out something about Keon Coleman. Yeah. It could be nothing that we find out, meaning like we're going to hear something. We're going to hear from Sean McDermott at noon today. Generally, he should know more information and say day to day or week to week, right? I mean, now, do we want to look at this positively and say they didn't make a move at wide receiver yesterday to bring someone else in? Sure, you could look at that. I just don't know if they would have anyway because of what I just said. You have four guys in the practice squad. If the fear would be that it'd be really long term, right? If it's really long term, then you have to think about what are you doing. You might have to bring someone from outside, but or you have to sign someone from your practice squad to your active roster. If it's short term, meaning a couple of weeks, whatever, then you could still play the elevation game for a couple of weeks before you get them back. But yeah, today we should hear something.
Was there any trade, even this could be the receivers too, Sal, but was there any trade in the league that happened yesterday where you thought, okay, that might have been something the Bills could have been in on or would have made sense for them?
Well, I mean, Za'Darius Smith, you know, getting traded, but that was a premium price, right?
I think there was some money involved there, which maybe would have made it different,
right.
But I think he only went for a fifth and a sixth. It wasn't like an exorbitant price.
Yeah, that might have been something, and that's a general manager that in a team that the Bills have dealt with before, right? So that could have been something you look at. I think the Bills feel good about, you know, they feel good about their pass rush. Look, one thing is, guys, if you look at the numbers, and Joe, you can look this up. I actually wanted to do this yesterday. I know time to throw for Tua was low again last week, but the numbers aren't great for the pass rush for the Bills, but I think you have to look at teams are getting rid of the ball very quickly against them. And that's actually because I think teams think that they actually have a pretty decent pass rush that they're having a healthy respect for. It doesn't mean that they're the best in the league. It's not what I'm saying. I think that you can't look at the numbers on sacks and pressures and think, oh my God, this is a terrible pass rush. I think you also have to look at what teams are doing designing game plans around the Bills because they're just not having time to get back there. I mean, they're literally going quick game every week. Tennessee did it, and the Jets did it, and now in the the last week the Miami Dolphins did it, right? So yeah, teams are doing this like every week, just getting rid of the ball. Oh my God, like Seattle did it for sure. You know, with Geno Smith until they were down in the game and they had to start trying to throw the ball a little bit downfield. So that's one thing. So that's a guy. I don't think that they would have been interested in bringing Tre'Davious White back for a draft pick. I always wondered what would have happened if he had been released. And again, it might have been one of those situations where you can't really bring Tre'Davious White back to Buffalo to be on your practice squad, right? I mean, he wouldn't want to do that, I don't think. And he's not going to sit. So it just never seemed like it was a kind of fit for them. And honestly, guys, from what I've seen from Tre'Davious White this year, I don't even know he'll be like someone who matters for Baltimore, to be quite honest with you, as the season goes on.
I think he's probably depth there. Yep. Like that's what he became with the Rams. Like he got beaten out, you know, after a couple of games there. So I would imagine he's depth in Baltimore. Jeremy had some numbers on this too for the team. But yes, yeah, like their win, I like to use pass rush win rate a lot for this. And the Bills on the year, like Rousseau is so high up near the top of the league. Vaughn has been very good at that too. I think he's 26th in the league out of like over 100. But everyone else for the Bills has kind of been lacking. That might be more for the edge, though. Interior, that's a part of this too, right? Like Daquan Jones, Oliver has been a little down from last year, but still pretty good in that department. So they like their unit as a whole. I was thinking more maybe they might add a defender on the defensive line yesterday that would help them with run defense. But We talked
about
this earlier.
Let's go back to the guys we just talked about.
Yeah.
Jordan Phillips and Quentin Jefferson. I mean, that could be, And maybe Ilyanku has earned a spot here over the next few weeks, right? He's played pretty well in the duty since he's been up. Without Dwayne Carter and Juwan Smoot now, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess the answer, the way I would put it is, it feels to me like they feel like the answers have to come kind of internally instead of giving up assets for other players.
Right.
Sal Capaccio. Sal, I'm going to ask you a question that I asked Joe last segment. The Steelers make a trade for Mike Williams. How long till, and maybe you already do, until people take the Steelers seriously? And you could make that whatever bar you want to set, right? Because it's the Bills and the Chiefs and the Ravens, and Pittsburgh has a record right there with those teams, but I don't think they're looked at that way. Do you think they can change that?
I'll tell you how long before people take the Steelers seriously. Till November 10th, that's Sunday at 4 p.m., do they beat the Washington Commanders in Washington?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's who they play this week.
That'd be a great win.
Yes, it would.
If they go to Washington and beat the Commanders, I think you start taking them a little more seriously. And then, by the way, back it up next week when you play the Ravens. Look at their schedule, guys. They've at Commanders, home to the Ravens, at the Browns, at the Bengals, back home against the Browns, at the Eagles, at the Ravens.
And then, the Chiefs.
Their schedule is brutal
right,
coming up.
You stopped at the Chief game, which is after that.
And then the Chiefs. And then the Bengals again, by the way, right? Which might be like literally for the playoffs for the Bengals at that point. Who knows? So I would say that I am personally not factoring the Steelers in very much at all until they show me they can beat these teams, mm-hmm. any of these teams. Like win like three of your next four, because Cleveland's kind of, you know, are where they are right now. And I'll be like, okay, like the Steelers are live for sure.
Yeah. Those two teams that play this week, they both made moves to kind of go in yesterday. Like when I hear like taken seriously for Pittsburgh, because everyone takes them seriously to make the playoffs because they've done that all the time. Maybe it's to win playoff games, which they have not done in 8 years. It also could just be, does anyone take them seriously to win the Super Bowl? Because to me, those two teams that made trades yesterday, Sal, the Commanders for Lattimore, who I think is the best player that got dealt, and then Williams to Pittsburgh, they've been trying since the summer to get a receiver. I feel like those are two really good teams that I don't know that anybody yet is thinking Washington or Pittsburgh are like potential Super Bowl teams.
Yeah, I don't know what Mike Williams does for them. We'll see. They seem to have a real good track record, obviously, with wide receivers. Russell Wilson's playing well right now, so you never know. That might wind up fitting in. He'd never fit with Aaron Rodgers. Veteran quarterback, so we'll see. You know, really, guys, but the AFC North is super interesting. These teams have not played each other yet. I mean, the Steelers have yet to play a division game. It's unbelievable. Right. The Ravens have played one division game against the Bengals. You know when they play another one? This Thursday against the Bengals. That's it. They have not yet played the Steelers yet. They haven't played the Browns yet. None of these teams have played each other. So I think we just have to give it a little bit of time, because what's going to happen is, these teams, look at their conference records, look at their division records, obviously. They're just going to start picking each other off now. Thursday night, it's Ravens. Is it at Bengals? No, it's Bengals at Ravens Thursday night, which is really interesting. And obviously, these are going to determine who should Bills fans root for that. Should root for the Bengals, right?
Bengals.
But then you get to 5-5 with the Bengals. I think you have to root for the Bengals if you're a Bills fan on Thursday.
What for? So that you would keep the
Bengals play the Ravens Thursday night.
Oh, right. Okay, gotcha. Keep the Ravens engaged.
Can I? Sal just asked that question, my instinct, I think I would want to land on the Ravens. My instinct, though, was to say don't let the Bengals in the playoffs. I don't want to see them in the wild card round. But that's assuming you think they are the same what they've been in when they beat the Bills in the playoffs 2 years ago. And even though I would respect them as a challenge, I also don't think they're as good as they were when they met the Bills in the divisional round 2 years ago.
But let me offer this to you for a second, which is wild. I think, Jeremy, actually, I didn't realize the playoff machine is up and running, right?
It is.
The New York Times. Well, here's what you can play with. If the Bengals beat the Ravens on Thursday night, the Ravens dropped to 6-4 and are literally right at that 6-7 line right now, halfway through the year in the playoff spots. Like, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
The problem is there are just so many dog teams in the league.
That's a lot. Yeah. And I think the Bengals might be one of them.
Not much parity now in the NFL, right? It was always parity. Do you guys know how many two-win teams there are off the top of your head? How many two-win teams are on the NFL right now?
There are nine, right? Yeah, and six in the AFC, yeah.
It's wild.
Yep. Thank you, Sal.
All right, guys, you got it.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Trade deadline comes and goes. We'll see what roster moves the Bills make today. Of course, Mike Edwards gone, so they have some spots they can fill. The latest on Keon Coleman we expect from Sean McDermott today around noon as well. Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast, he said something this week. I don't know if I've ever heard it said or heard him say it about this Bills offense before. Something is new. We'll get to that with Joe next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Drew on him quickly, then tried to clear it out. Thompson across. Paterka scores!
One of the moments of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth.
He's the best red zone quarterback maybe of all time because of his legs. Like, here's the great thing. Last year, I thought he should have been the MVP of the league. I really do. All right? This year, he's had 10 fewer turnovers at this time.
Mm-hmm.
10 fewer turnovers. The only two interceptions he's had, one, Amari Cooper slips on a slant route, and then this one that should have been caught.
Off Coleman's chest.
Off Coleman's chest was an interception. Those are the only two interceptions he's had the whole time. So to me, this guy is an absolute beast.
Rex Ryan on Josh Allen there. Sabres win. Bills play the Colts on Sunday from Indianapolis. We go to the Western Hotline. Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, good morning, Jeremy.
I teased going to the break that I heard you use a phrase. I don't know if I've heard you say it before about the Josh Allen era Bills. Just listening to your All-22 review, and I believe the phrase you used was about the run game, that it is, quote, beautiful, end quote.
Yeah, you know, I call it like I see it. It's this run scheme, it's really good, and it's the zone rushing that is really blossom for the Buffalo Bills. You know, last year it was a lot of tackle wrap and they'd pull Dawkins and Brown and do a lot of gap stuff. They have become a zone rushing offense and it is going extremely well against the Dolphins. A 78% success rate on zone runs, almost 7 yards per carry. They had the highest zone run success rate of any team last week, and they are in the top three in success rate on zone runs. And it's just really fascinating. I didn't really think this. I always thought to myself that the Bills are more of a gap-oriented run scheme, and I'm wrong about that. Their zone rushing offense is really taking off. James Cook and his ability to run that cutback zone is really good. They set it up, and James Cook does a good job of pressing the line of scrimmage and then working back across the grain to find those creases, and it's a big deal. Like, if you can run the zone run scheme like this, it opens up more for your play action. It opens up more for your quarterback run game. It opens up more from your bootleg stuff. It's been a nice development, and I think it's trended so well throughout the course of the season. And the last 2 weeks of zone rushing offense have been beautiful.
Yeah, it's something like I know you've talked about before. You marry the run and the pass game together. Is that when you say like it opens things up the right way? Is that that this scheme fits what they want to do in the pass game?
Yeah, I think so. In a lot of ways, it should, at least, because when you run those zone run schemes, you're working your offensive line horizontally, right, as opposed to like coming downhill right at you. And so, you know, you're always a little bit nervous about guys getting down the field, and when you're trying to make your pass plays look like your run plays in terms of the blocking surface. And so, because that line is moving horizontally, you also get situations where you can move the pocket, and I think it helps you a little bit with, you know, anytime you run play action, you're asking your quarterback to turn his back to the defense. And I think that's all very, very helpful, especially when you want to put that quarterback in motion, the bootleg stuff out of it. It's kind of a staple of, you know, the Shanahan offenses. The Bills are not a Shanahan offense, but conceptually the Shanahan offense marries zone, you know, wide zone, inside zone with their play action game, their heavy play action. And that's kind of how they put defenses in a lot of conflict.
When you talk about Cook and like him seeing those cutback lanes, that the ball carrier vision that he has, is that maybe emerging to you, Joe, as like one of his most impressive traits, is that he is making good decisions rather than just, oh, he's going to run away from a guy or run a guy over?
Yeah, there's no question about it. And here's the thing about James Cook. It's going to sound like I'm going to say bad things about him right now. I'm just telling you how he is. He's not a physical runner, right? He's 5'11", 190 pounds. He is not a run people over, you know, yards after contact, moving piles. That's not James Cook. What is James Cook? He's a slasher. He's got that ability to get a lot of width in his cuts. He has good vision. And I think whenever you run the ball like the Bills are running it with James Cook as your lead back, it leans into who he is, right? That ability to work laterally, jump cut, work back against the grain, be a slasher, plays into his skill set. I mean, Cook's just never going to be a guy that, all right, let's go, put him behind a fullback, plow through here, get some tough yards. You know, that's just not his game. So I think it leans into the best strengths of who your lead back is.
Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast. Joe, the thing I want to know is, and I feel like this might be the question we ask every week, is how does that match up against the Chiefs, the Ravens, right? Like this season, this divisional race, we're living in middle of whatever, early November, and yet we have to kind of always look at everything through the lens of January. What will it mean for them? When you watch the Chiefs, when you watch the Ravens, who, of course, hammered the Bills in that one matchup, are the Bills evolving into a team that you feel match up well with either one of them?
It's tough to say that for sure. I think that the diversity of the run scheme is not a bad thing. That only helps you. And I think when you consider those are big physical fronts, both the Chiefs and the Ravens, and you think about zone rushing is more reliant on angles and timing than it is moving big, huge people out of the way, right? So when you run gap schemes, you're asking your offensive linemen to displace defensive linemen, move them out of the way to create a gap, where with the zone scheme, you're really taking advantage of angles and moving things horizontally and asking your backs to work off of it. So I think in that sense, yes, I think that helps you, because you think about, you know, the long arms, the big, you know, big dudes, Travis Jones and Michael Pierce and Chris Jones and Mike Dana and all these players that the Chiefs and the Ravens have up front. I think that helps you displace them, because you're not going to get vertical displacement. I think horizontal displacement with good angles probably helps you. I think those games are going to be really game script dependent. I think it's going to be a lot of, you know, can Josh be consistent in the passing game? Can the Bills get pass rush? So, yeah, I think the run scheme does help, but I find myself thinking a little bit more about other factors against the Chiefs and Ravens.
We were talking about the pass game a little bit earlier in terms of the screen game, Joe, and like how Shakir is almost kind of on his own right now when it comes to wide receivers and ADOT and some of those types of numbers. And is it fair to say, maybe it's more than Shakir, I'm sure, but that these are the most successful screen plays and the most successful screen game that the Bills have really had with Josh Allen as their quarterback?
For sure, in terms of wide receiver screens and tight end screens, even, you know, Dalton, they get Dalton Kincaid going on some screen stuff as well. Even Keon a couple times they've had him on some screen plays. So the Bills have a good screen game. It's just not a running back screen game. Right? They almost no production to the running backs of the screen game. So it's interesting to see that the Bills do have a screen game, but it might not be exactly the style that is more traditional. So, but the, I mean, Shakir and what he's doing after the catch is bananas, right? I mean, like very low average depth of target, a lot of behind the line of scrimmage targets, and he's at 10 yards after the catch per reception. That's unbelievable. And so it's nice to see that come together, and I think it speaks to some of the athleticism the Bills have with their offensive line. Deion Dawkins getting out in space has been really good for the screen game, in addition to relying on guys like a Mac Hollins and Dawson Knox out in space. So I think they're designing it better, but I mean, give a lot of credit to these guys and their ability to create after the catch. It's really helping this passing offense.
Disappointed at the no addition at the deadline?
Yeah, I think so. I was hopeful for some defensive line help, especially with DeJuan Smoot going down and, you know, what he means for their rush package as a guy that can reduce inside and rush on the interior. And, you know, you're just wondering. And, you know, Greg Rousseau is playing the highest percentage of snaps of his career, 12% higher than ever. A.J. Epenesa is like 16% higher than any other season of his career in terms of snaps played. So when you look at Za'Darius Smith and what the Lions gave up, what Preston Smith went for to the Steelers, Baron Browning to the Cardinals, yeah, I wish the Bills would have made any one of those three trades for sure.
Are you thinking at all about Micah Hyde day-to-day as a potential replacement now? I mean, you would think they're going to add a safety. Maybe they just promote someone from the practice squad because they only have three true safeties on the active roster right now.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Mike Edwards no longer in the mix. Cam Lewis, probably your third safety. Cole Bishop, the four. And then you have Lewis Cine and Tareem Jackson on the practice squad. It feels okay to me. I don't find myself panicking about the depth there, but I do think the never-ending question of Micah Hyde and his return is, you know, obviously as hot as it's ever been right now. And it's a fascinating conversation. I mean, I follow all the Bills beat reporters. I know you guys do too. And there's a lot of them that are pretty adamant that this is probably going to happen. I think it's interesting. You know, I think Micah Hyde, it's not like you're getting 4 years ago, Micah Hyde, you know, and yeah, I don't think he was playing his best football last year. You're worried about the neck and stingers and, you know, is 2023 Micah Hyde better than 2024 DeMar Hamlin? I know there's a leadership component there that matters, but are you losing something in terms of range? Hamlin's kind of playing better every week. It's complicated. I kind of trust the Bills to make the right choice there because I think they've been right about safeties, and McDermott's had an unbelievable career with safeties. But yeah, I understand the question. It just would feel kind of weird to me for this to happen right now, but there's a lot of people that think it's going to, so we got to be open-minded to that.
Early impressions looking ahead to the Colts this Sunday, Joe. It feels like defensively, what's easier to attack, you think? The run defense for the Indy or the pass defense? Because I feel like I hear a lot of concerns about both.
Well, the Colts have a couple of really good defensive tackles in Grover Stewart and DeForest Buckner that gives you a lot of concern, but this defense has been pretty generous in giving up yards. What are they, 29th in yards, 12th in scoring? Their pass defense has been pretty bad. They're 26th in yards per attempt against the pass, and they faced like the second least amount of rushing attempts this season. So teams are going after this team through the air. Their corners are very underwhelming, and I think you can really attack them that way. I think they have overall a good front, so I think this is very much a game where I'd be interested in passing the football. I'd be interested in attacking the edges in the run game. And then I think really what it comes down to is your defense. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor is a good back. I don't think he's – over the last 3 years, he hadn't been what he was his first 2 years in the NFL. And I think the Bills match up pretty well with them in terms of their weapons in the passing game. They're bigger physical receivers I think the Bills match up well with. And their offensive line's kind of banged up. Joe Flacco, you know, I don't think you can overlook the Colts at all, especially a road game. But I feel like the Bills match up pretty well. I think the only thing you're really concerned about is slowing down Jonathan Taylor. And I think the last 3 years of his career have kind of said that he's not quite the player he was in year one and year two.
Colts this week. And then, of course, a lot of attention to the opponent after that. We'll chat next week, Joe. Thanks for the time.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast. Make it a daily listen. And Locked On NFL Scouting does that with Kyle Krabs as well. And you find them where you find your podcasts. So make it a habit. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550. We'll get Paul's Sabres recap coming up top of the hour. I've got trivia for you. I'm going to get that in.
I'm playing around with the playoff machine already.
Yeah? It's not as fun to play with.
You got the other teams.
Listen, I'm not saying it's a preferable life. Mm-hmm. When you're 6-6, the playoff machine is fun.
I would say we were living in the playoff machine basically last year at this time.
Yeah,
right.
7-2 is like, yeah, whatever. What do we get? What, 99%? And then they give you the 99% with a greater than sign that's not quite 100. Yeah. But anyway.
So I'm not gonna lie. When I said I've been playing around with the New York Times playoff machine, I have not opened the Bills page yet.
Yeah, right. You're playing with other teams.
Right now, I'm on the Jets page.
803-0550. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Contest time. B, caller 5 to 221-4WGR. And you can win tickets to the Shoresy Fall Classic at KeyBank Center next Wednesday, the 13th KeyBank Center. Courtesy of AEG Presents, visit Ticketmaster.com to get your tickets. Joe, I've seen the phrase a few times, the Big Five. Want to guess who the Big Five are? Not the five people calling for the fifth caller to win that 221-4WGR. The Big Five. I mean, like the Big Five. Once you guess it, I want to tell you how we should use it.
The Big Five.
What are the Big Five right now?
College football?
No.
Just top teams in the NFL right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the five Super Bowl contenders?
It's the Big Five.
Okay, so it's going to be the Chiefs, the Bills, the Lions, the Ravens, and the...
You want it.
Niners?
Yep.
Okay.
It's last year's conference finalists.
Yeah.
And the Bills.
Okay. Oh, and interesting. Right.
That's the Big Five.
Yeah.
Routinely, I see Ben Baldwin refer to the Big Five. Just now I saw ESPN put up, here are the favorites. And how many teams are on the screen? Five.
Yeah.
Because six is a drop-off. It's right. The Big Five. And I know we all want Super Bowl or bust, and I'm not sitting here signing up for less than that, but being in the Big Five feels like you should get to the Big Four at some point. Feels like you should be one of the four.
Yeah.
Let somebody else be five.
Yeah, it will be it's 4 years.
It's championship game.
Right.
You know, that when I saw the first time I saw it, I'm like, oh yeah, Big Five, and for 5 weeks now, I was like, the Big Five. It's the championship game finalists. Oh, yeah, and the Bills. And, you know, it goes sometimes without saying. Sometimes it's been a while since they've been in that game, and I think it's time to go to that game at the least.
Yeah, the Titans have not been in that game more recently. I guess that's the thing. There have only been two, three teams that have actually been there.
Bengals.
It's just because the Chiefs are there.
It's the Bengals and Ravens.
Yeah. Well, that's it. And then obviously the Chiefs.
Right, of course. 803-0550, our phone number. Hey, good to be in the Big Five. Got to be in the Big Two someday. Sabres recap. We'll talk with Paul Hamilton on the other side. They won last night at home. A nice win over Ottawa. One of their better games of the year. And part of the story is who Lindy Ruff put in the press box. Accountability came for a couple players. And we'll talk about that with Paul coming up. So stay tuned. 803-0550 if you want to chime in on the conversation. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.